All right. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus that you'll guide us through this Bible study. Father, that the Holy Spirit will be here to teach us, show us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. Father, we thank you that you've seated us far above our challenges and that you've caused us to be victorious in every way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. It says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." Now, we go to great lengths to make sure that when people get born again, that they are not under the law anymore. Not the old covenant law. There's still laws that we got to keep on this side of the cross. Three in particular. But you're not under that condemnation from the old law. You're not under that. Now this is, man, this is kind of crazy. But we really, really are in a dangerous time as far as information goes. And there's one preacher that I really like to listen to once in a while. And he has these little short segments on, and I listen to him. I pulled him up, and this guy started talking, and I was sitting there looking at him, and I said, "This is not him." And then this guy started saying that Moses was not real, that the law was not real, and all this stuff. I said, "Who is this?" You know, and I wrote on there, I said, "This is not him. This is AI." But that's what we're facing. We're facing AI technology all over the place. There is fake stuff popping up constantly. We have to have that discernment of the Holy Spirit in us. We have to have His Word in us. That's how we get the witness of the Holy Spirit. We need to have that Word in us, and we need to discern things. I mean, not just believe everything that you see or hear. You know, our whole airways are just bombarded with false information. And I'm just shocked at the people that believe absolutely everything they hear. Here's one of the things we have to watch out for, though, is confirmation bias. See, just because something might agree with what you are kind of leaning into, that doesn't mean it's right. You know, there's people out here that are hating on people, and it's just false. It's just false. For no reason, they're hating people. And then they gripe about other people, saying that they've been psyoped. Well, these guys are psyoped too. You know, we need to really pay attention to what we're listening to. Number one, see, Jesus even said that. He said, "Take heed what you hear." It means pay attention to what you're listening to. If it's false, stay away from it. But anyway, let's get back to these laws. We do have some laws. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7. It said, "For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. So he found fault with that covenant. You know, I said this before, the law is holy, just, and good. There's everything about the law is holy, just, and good. It's righteous. But it won't do one thing to help you be righteous. And in fact, if a guy's honest, if you really look at the law is really designed to break a man so he can see his need for a Savior. Because if they're honest with themselves, they'll admit that they can't keep the law. And in fact, that was one thing that Jesus did when he was here on this earth. These Pharisees would confront him with the law. And they had this law, they had it tore down to a level that they thought they could keep it and be righteous before God. And Jesus would raise the bar back up to where he had it. And then they realized that they couldn't keep it. And it made them mad. Because their self-righteousness was not working. And he confronted that all the time. Verse 13 says, in that he saith, a new covenant. He has made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. That's gone. We have a new covenant, and Jesus is the head of that covenant. He's watching over that covenant. He's alive. And he's watching over his will to make sure it gets performed on our behalf. How cool is that? So let's look at this first law. We'll find it in Matthew chapter 22. Now remember, we have to always, in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, we always have to pay attention to what side of the cross things are being said on. So we're obviously before the cross. But Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 says, Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, Jesus was talking to people that were trying to keep the law. Now, on the other side of the cross, the Bible clearly tells us to believe the love that God has for us. Now, when we do that, when we believe the love that God has for us, this law of love will be a lot easier. Here's the problem. He was not talking to Christians in this verse. He was talking to Jews who were under the old covenant. He was talking to Pharisees and scribes. And he was telling them, he was raising the bar on them. But the law of love didn't go away. But here's how we get tangled up. People run around trying to love God with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, all their body. And then they get to church or wherever, and the devil will remind them how they failed to keep that law. He'll say, if you really loved your neighbor, you would have fed him. If you really loved people, you would have went out and witnessed to them. What's going on? He's trying to show you how you failed the law so that he can get you into condemnation. But here's the thing. When we get over onto the right side of the cross and believe the love that God has for us, we'll love other people. We will go talk to people, witness to them. We'll go feed people. We'll help people. We'll be witnesses. We'll go do what we're supposed to do. the way we're designed to do it. And here's a crazy idea. This is might be one of the craziest things I've heard since I've heard a lot of crazy stuff, but this is one of the craziest things I've heard lately. Somebody said, well, all you got to do is love people and you'll go to heaven. Really? Did you know that unless the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, you're not going to love people? Not with that agape kind of love that Jesus was talking about. We're not going to have that covenant kind of love for them. That's not going to happen until we get born again. Once we get born again, then the love of God gets shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. So we're loving people with Jesus' love. See, I was trying to love people with my love. And I was having a hard time with some of these people. And I just, one day I told Jesus, I said, man, I'm not at Paul's level and I'm not even close to your level, but I don't know how in the world you want me to love some of these people. And he said, well, you love them with my love. Said, oh, okay. Okay, I can do that. But that's got to be with the help of the Holy Spirit. See, 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So there's our explanation. We love people because God loves us. We don't love people because they perform. We don't love people because they're popular. We love people because God loved us first. See, somebody had to love us enough to get us born again. Thank God. And they didn't pick and choose. No, they didn't pre-qualify us. They just got us born again because God opened the door for us. See, you live according to the laws of the new covenant when you are conscious of how much God loves you. And loving other people would be a whole lot easier. But we have to be convinced of his love for us. That means we're going to have to be convinced of his forgiveness for us. We have to learn something about how we've been put into right standing with God. And then we'll have to learn how he gave us this ministry of reconciliation to go help somebody else get where we are. Amen. Let's look at the second one. Let's look at James chapter 1, verse 25. James chapter 1, verse 25 says, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So we do have a perfect law of liberty. We have a law. You've been made, you are perfectly accepted, made righteous, and justified freely by his grace. That's the law of liberty. You're righteous, you're justified, you're accepted. The minute you got born again, there's too many people that are somehow trying to learn acceptance in the church. You know, you're already accepted in the beloved. Now, sometimes church members try to make them earn that acceptance, but that's not the way it's designed in the Bible. And I've seen people struggle with this. They'd come in here and they'd say, "What do I got to do to be a member of the church?" I said, "Are you born again?" I said, "Yeah, you're a member." "Well, don't I got to do something?" I said, "What, like give me $10? What? I don't know." "Don't we got to fill out something?" I said, "No, you don't got to fill out something. You are in the body of Christ. You're a member of the church." And man, it's just hard. And the amount of people that get rebaptized so they can be a member of the church is absolutely nuts. No wonder people are so confused. You are a member of the church. The minute you get born again, you're accepted in the beloved. You're as clean as you're ever going to be. You are a member of the body of Christ. You are a member of the church. Stand fast, therefore, in your liberty. And don't let anybody tell you there's something you have to do to be a member of the church. I've even seen, this was in a Word of Faith church. These guys took this tub of dirt, put it up there on the stage, and said, "You take this plastic flower and you plant it in that dirt, you're a member of this church. You're gonna bloom where you've been planted." And people just flocked up there like you were feeding chickens. And I sat there. I thought, "You've got to be kidding me. Are you serious?" Well, sometimes people are even required to fill something out to be a member of the church. Sometimes people actually have to go through certain duties to be a member of the church. There's certain things they have to do to be a member of the church, and if they don't do that, they're not part of the church. All you got to do is be born again. You're in the body of Christ. You're a member of the church, period. I had to kind of laugh. I was thinking about my friend. It's not funny. It's funny, but it's not funny. It's deadly serious. He worked in a Bible camp. Well, worked at this camp, and people could go have Bible camps up there. And he was a janitor up there. And so this first Bible camp went up there, and they were doing their thing. There's a little lake there. He'd go catch trout, and they were down there baptizing people. So he wandered down there, and he said, "What are you doing?" And they told him what they were doing, and they gave him their spiel, and they baptized him. Praise God. Well, the next church group, they come in there, and they're down there baptizing people. And he goes down there, and he said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "We're baptizing people." And he said, "I did that last week." They said, "Really? How'd you do it?" And he went through his little spiel, what he did, and they, "No, you didn't do it right." So they took him through their little spill and they baptized him. And I was witnessing to him. He could die at any time. And he knew it. And I said, "Pat, you need to be born again." He said, "How many times have I got to do that?" He said, he got baptized 7 times that summer. You wonder why people are confused? And then, this is exactly what he told me. So I don't want to hear it. So I'm going to wait until I know the last dog is hung. And I'm going to say, Jesus, save me. It worked for that guy on the cross next to Jesus. And that's what I'm going to do. Oh, man. You're on borrowed time. Every breath you take, you're on borrowed time. What much I could do for it. You see why it's so important to just get rid of the man-made doctrines, pick up the Bible, learn the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, preach the gospel that Paul gave us, the full gospel that Paul gave us, preach that. Let all of our traditions go. Let all our doctrine go. Just go with what we have in the Bible. Wouldn't that solve a lot of problems? Sometimes I just sit there and I just wonder how crazy things really are. I had a lady call me one time crying. She was born again. I witnessed to her. I prayed with her. She got born again. She was crying. Said her pastor said she didn't get to go to heaven because she didn't speak in tongues. So I was going through all that with her. Go back to that day. She's in jail. I talked to her, reminded her of how she got born again and she gets to go to heaven. But these extra things, these extra things that people put on people affects their liberty in Christ. I had one lady in a Southern Baptist church. I was preaching to her. I was preaching to this whole congregation, and at the end of the service, she come up there. And she said, you mean to tell me that I don't have to get water baptized to go to heaven? I said, that's exactly right. And I was waiting for the rocks. And she said, I want baptized now. I've been waiting 30 years for somebody to tell me that. I said, fill the baptismal up. We're going to baptize her. She waited 30 years to get baptized. She sat in a Southern Baptist church for 30 years waiting for somebody to tell her that she did not have to get water baptized to go to heaven. She knew it in her heart. She was just waiting for somebody to say it. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. See, we're saved by grace and we live by grace. My pastor used to say, and I know it took a long time for me to understand this, He used to say, take advantage of grace. And I thought, what in the world? And he wasn't talking about being an idiot, and he wasn't talking about being sloppy, but what he was talking about is understanding that when you do make a mistake, that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and you are saved by grace. You're continually forgiven by grace. The blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. You are saved by grace. You are being saved by grace, and you will be saved by grace. See, salvation. is not just a one-time event. It's your life. Salvation is your life. It's everything. 1 John chapter 5. John chapter 5 verse 14 says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. See, that's one thing that's going to happen when you believe the love that God has for you. You stand in that liberty of Christ. You're going to have confidence with God. You're going to have confidence in going to the prayer room and asking him for what you need. You'll have confidence that your prayers are answered. Let's look at the last one here. It says Romans chapter 3, verse 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law? Of works? No. But by the law of faith. We have the law of faith. In fact, Romans 10:17 tells us that the just shall live by faith. The Bible tells us that Abraham believed God and he accounted it to him for righteousness. That's how we get our righteousness. We believe God. We believe what Jesus did for us on the cross. When we got born again, that we got put into right standing with God. That whatever was wrong before us got taken away by the blood of Jesus. Praise God. See, some of our first lessons in faith is learning how to sit by faith and just receive the things that Jesus has done for us. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Paul, he got after these guys. The Galatians, he got after the Galatians. He said, stand fast. And Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He's telling these guys, said, who has bewitched you? So you guys started off in the spirit, and now you think you're going to pick up the law? He said, whoever done this, I wish they'd be cut off. See, he was really getting after these guys. So these guys, their big mistake was they got saved by grace, but then they decided that they was going to pick up the law. That's nothing new. They're still doing it today. These people will call it, well, it's balance. You got to have balance. I know you're saved by grace, but you got to keep the law. They'll have a lot of different angles. They may not call it the law. They may call it obedience. You be obedient to this and you'll be obedient to that. That's the law. Now, obedience is great. But we're obedient because we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And then we obey God. But we don't obey God in order to become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We get made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus first. And then we go do these good things. See, people will try to tell you that righteousness is right doing. It's not. righteousness is right standing. If righteousness ever came down to right doing, we'd all be toast. There's no way we could ever make it the day without making a mistake. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God that because of the blood of Jesus, we're put into right standing with God by His grace. So we don't want that yoke, but there is a yoke that Jesus did tell us about. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. Now we're back over here before the cross, but Jesus is talking a little differently here. Matthew chapter 11, verse 9 says, "But what went ye out for to see?" No, Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. I'm sorry. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." And he's talking to these guys that were under the law. He's talking to these guys that were trying to keep the law, and he said, "Come unto me and take my yoke upon you. Leave that heavy, burdensome yoke of the law behind and come take my yoke upon me. And here's how you do it. Learn of me. For my yoke is easy." See, the more we learn of Jesus, the more freedom we're going to have. The more we learn of Jesus, the more of Him is going to happen in us. And in fact, you don't necessarily have to go chasing the thing that you need. You just need to go chase Jesus. So go learn of Him. You learn of Him. Everything that you need is wrapped up in Jesus. It's all wrapped up in Him. And that makes some people mad. You know, I told one lady, she's all flustered about these end time events that are happening. I said, "Can you do anything about it?" She said, "No." I said, "Can you change it?" "No." Then, why don't you just trust in Jesus and sit back and enjoy the ride? She said, "I can't stand that. You people that think you can just trust in Jesus and everything's going to be all right, I can't stand it." She had just got done telling me how much she loved God and how much she loved Jesus and how much she loved the Holy Spirit. But when I told her to just trust in Jesus, oh, that just blew her right out of the water. I said, "Man." So we do have some laws. We have the law of love, the law of faith, and the law of liberty. A lot of people really master on the law of faith. A lot of people master on the law of love, but a lot of people let that law of liberty slip. That's one that we need to really pay attention to. We need to pay attention to the law of liberty. We need to make sure that we don't ever let anybody lead us into a position where we're trying to earn something from God. We can't earn anything. Matter of fact, Paul addressed that. He said, what is it, by the law of works or is it by the law of faith? So we need to pay attention to what we're doing. And why we're doing it. So a lot of the things that people do are good things. The reason they're doing them may be a little confused. See, a lot of times people are doing stuff in order to earn some points with God. Maybe they're trying to earn some kind of a blessing from God. You can't. You can't earn something you've already been freely given. He's freely given you all things with Christ Jesus. But those good things, we can still do those good things as long as we do it out of a right heart. We do those good things because we are in right standing with God. Amen? See how things can get just a little bit jumbled? Thank God that God blesses us according to our hearts, not necessarily what we're thinking upstairs. Amen. Okay, thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything you do for us.